If you would turn your Bible to Psalms, before I tell you where we're going, I want you to look at this for a moment. If I was to look back at the time of Moses, and I was to take you back a real quick, brief story of the burning bush, I would say to you that Moses approached the burning bush, and it was a very unique sight. And I think the Word of God is a very unique thing for you and I tonight. And that as he approached it, the Lord spoke to him, and prior to that, he was looking at the bush, and he thought, wow, the bush is burning, but it's not really being burnt up. And the Bible says that he turned to the side and looked at it, and behold, the Lord spoke to him, told him to take off his shoes because you were on holy ground. Otherwise, God was saying to him, there's something more than what you're seeing. So tonight, I want you to look at your Bible and hold it in your lap as we read it tonight and we look at it. And I don't want you just to treat it like a burning bush, like a spectacle. I want you to understand that God has something very special for you tonight. And I believe that if we just look at it in a common way, we'll get nothing from it. But if we will take what's going to look like tonight, the verses that I'm going to be going over with you are very familiar. Most of you would have them memorized. So if we just treat them as common, then what will happen tonight, you'll get nothing out of this message. You'll get nothing out of what the Word is showing you. But if we will turn aside to take a new, fresh look at what the Word of God is saying, I believe you'll walk away from here tonight understanding that there is a new approach that God wants for you and I. Turn to the 23rd Psalm. We're going to go to the Old Testament. Can we just do this for the fun of it? Can we say that the Old Testament will be the voice of God the Father tonight? Is that okay? And then we're going to look at the New Testament a little bit later as the voice of Jesus himself, the Son of God. So let's look at Psalm 23. And I know we know it, but let's go ahead and open your Bibles up there and let's take a good look at it. I believe there's some good things for us. I want you to know tonight, as we go into prayer tonight, we have to get a new attitude of how we look at God and how we look at prayer. I believe we have to have a new approach. If you were to go to the White House, you would have to be briefed. They'd have to tell you how you were going to dress, how you were going to approach the president. You would wait in a waiting room. You'd have to take one step and another step and another step before you could even meet with him. And then when you met with him, you had to address him a certain way. The Queen of England, if you were to meet the Queen of England, there would be certain rules and guidelines. The way you would address her. You could not ever touch her. Things like that. So tonight, as we look at this, I want to believe that there's an intimacy with God, that there's a deeper level with God that we can go to. So I want to look at this, and we have to see God in a very personal way, that he's my God. I have a dear friend of mine. He used to be a pastor here. He's now in Arizona. He used to tell me, there's one area you can be selfish with God, and that's the fact that he is my God. He may be your God tonight, but I absolutely know for all eternity that he's my God. I think we have to have that mentality. So let's take a look at this. I want you to see this in Psalm 23. And look what it says. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That means he's my God. My God is considerate of me. My God thinks a lot of me. It goes on and says, he leads me beside the still waters. That means he coaches me, he instructs me, he informs me on how to live out life. Then it goes on, verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. You know, God is a merciful God tonight. If you don't know that, you need to reach deep into your prayer closet and say, God, I need to meet up with you. I need to have answers to prayer. It goes on, it says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. That speaks to the fact that God wants to be intimate with you. Otherwise, righteousness is not our righteousness, but God's righteousness. He wants us to come to a higher and a new level with him. So therefore, God is a God that wants to spend intimate time with me. It goes on, it says, for his name's sake. And then check out this. Don't we know that in the 23rd Psalm, it's kind of an example of the Christian's life. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What's that speak of? That God is always with you. You know, sometimes you go through deserts in life. You go through spells where it seems like everything is dry. What is a desert? A desert, you can be with a room full of people and still feel alone. And God wants you to know, I'm always with you. That's my God. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? I feel like I'm growing hair already. This is good. Look what it says. It says, "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You know, you're never going to get a greater comforter than God Himself. Let me say that again. You're never going to get a greater comforter than God Himself. Listen, all the people in this room at some time, some place will misunderstand you, but God never misunderstands you. He's in love with you, and He's the kind of God that is merciful. He comforts you. Look what it says here, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That speaks to the fact that we have a powerful God. He can plant you anywhere and do great things. He's a powerful God. That's the God we serve. It goes on, it says down here in verse 5 again, "You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." God blesses us. He's a God that blesses. Look at the promises. The promised hope is, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, that's my God. That's the kind of God I serve, the kind of God that loves me. He loves me even when I don't do well. He may not be happy with me, but He's still in love with me. So I want you to see something. I want to show you an example. Let's turn a little bit further in the book of Psalms to Psalm 143. So right here we've been talking about the fact that God is my God. He's my God. It's a personal thing. Look at Psalm 143. I want to show you, David is here in the 143rd Psalm, and he's asking with a passionate heart for the direction of God. He wants God's direction. You know, have you hungered for God's direction so much that you don't care if He rebukes you? That's hungering for God's direction. Otherwise, what I'm saying, you're hungering for God so much, "God, I want to change." So we're talking about prayer now. Now, let's not miss out. We're talking about how to approach God in prayer. So watch this. Psalm 143, verse 1, real quickly, David starts off, says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give your ear. Pay attention to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me." But check out verse 8. Verse 8 is a powerful passage of a prayer. And check out what it says. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should live. For I lift up my soul to you. Do you know that we ought to have some passion when we come to God? But check it out. When we say to God, "God, cause me to hear your loving kindness," it's like getting a hug from God Himself. God, you listen, I know the greatest thing I have in my life, personally, is I'll look to my wife and I'll say, "I love you." But I'm waiting for a response, don't you know? And this is what this is saying. Cause me to hear your loving kindness. But check out the second part where it says, "Cause me to know the way I should walk, how I should live." You know, Pastor Jim's been talking a great deal about left side, right side. I hope you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't been in church, you probably don't. But if you've been in church in the last 3 or 4 weeks, you understand that the left side is when we operate in the flesh. But the right side is when we operate in the spirit. But check out what this is saying. It says, "For I lift up my soul to you." Otherwise, my spirit man is saying, "God, I don't want to just operate on my carnal knowledge. I want what you have for me. I'm seeking your heart." Very, very important. Let's go a step further in the Old Testament. Keep going to your right. Go into the book of Proverbs. I want to show you one more thing from the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 3. Again, we all could quote this scripture, but check out what it says. Look in your Bible. Watch it. Check it out. Go to the side. Turn to the side. Look what it's saying. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Look at me for just a moment. The word trust is the very action of faith. It's the action of faith. Otherwise, when I say I'm trusting God, that means I'm putting my faith in Him. Where the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him," it's talking about trusting yourself in Him. It's talking about the act of faith. Here it says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding." Don't hang on just the way you've always done things. Your voice will always gravitate back to the way you've always done things. That's where it's comfortable at. But then it goes on, it says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him." The greatest thing we can do is to understand that God loves it when we acknowledge Him. When we acknowledge Him, it's kind of like plugging in the vacuum cleaner. Now we have power in our life. God wants us to have power. Let me say that again. God wants us to have power. So it goes on and says, and he shall he will direct your life. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't. I think the fear, the greatest part of the fear of the Lord is I'm afraid of what I would become or what would happen to me if I got away from God. I don't want to get away from God. I want God's direction, even if it means he's got to change me, even if it means he's got to discipline me. So that in the Old Testament, we're seeing a few things. We're seeing the fact that he's my God. I've got to treat him as my God. My God is like a hero to me. He's special to me. He leads me. He guides me. He comforts me. He restores me. I have to see him as my God. But then I also have to see God in a position that I can spend some intimate time with. God, cause me to hear your loving kindness. I want to hear. And I want to know, Lord, I don't want to be contrary. I don't want to miss you. I want to know what direction to go in life. Let's go to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 6. Again, very, 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 very powerful passage. We know it very well. Matthew chapter 6. What is prayer? Here at the church, I think the best definition I've ever heard is that of prayer, that prayer is fervent, focused, faith-filled, word-based communication with God. You know, Jesus said, the words I speak are not my own, but the Father who lives in me does his work through me. You know, God does his work through you because you speak it out. You pray. You know, I don't think prayer is just meant to get things. I think prayer is to get to know God. You know, I have a little girl. She just happens to be here tonight, but I have a little girl that it just seems like no matter what I do, you know, I'll ask her to do this, she does it. And I'll be working and she'll come, Dad, can I help you with this? Dad, here, I brought you a glass of water. You look like you're tired. Dad, what else can I do for you? She's constantly wanting to know what I can do for her. So you know what? As a father, I want to bless her. So I go to bless her and guess what she does? Dad, you don't need to do anything for me. Oh my goodness, now I don't just want to bless her, I want to give her a double portion. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so what I'm saying to you tonight is that that's how our God really is to us. He doesn't just want to get to know us, he wants to give us more. But you know, there must be a secret to this. I mean, there's not a formula, no more than there's a formula to salvation. You can't pray a line of words and then that works. It's got to be something more. How about if I get a little bit personal with you, and I hope it doesn't bother you any, but you know, if you're married and you have intimacy with your wife, it's because there's something that's very important that I share with so many people is that your body, oh please, I hope you don't mind this, your body can function with anybody, but it's the love you have for that person that makes the difference. So you can pray a prayer, and it may just be words, but it's the passion, it's the care, it's the love you have in that prayer that makes the difference. So watch this. Watch this. In Matthew chapter 6, look what it says here. Real quickly, verse 7 says, Jesus is speaking. Don't you know this is great? Red letters. I get excited, red letters. And when you pray, do not use vain reputations. Hey, listen, you know what that is? That's like you're hungry and you go before the dinner table and you just pray out words. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. It has no meaning to it. It has no real meaning to it. It has no value to it. It's like, what are you expecting from God with a prayer like that? That's what Jesus is talking about. Look what he says here, though. Look what he says here in verse number 8. Therefore, you do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. I want you to know tonight, before you pray tonight, God already knows what you need. He's not so far off in your life. You're not so far away from him that he doesn't already know. Let's not treat prayer like we're telling God something new. He already knows you have a need. Watch this. Our Father in heaven, or I should say it this way, based on Psalm 23, my Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Do you check it out? It's all about him right now. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it's about me. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, the children of Israel were really stubborn, and God had to teach them to depend on him for their daily bread. Let it not be named among us today as Christians that we don't understand that God wants to provide our need, that He is our provider. But look what it says here. The next level is this. It says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. When it says, do not lead us to temptation, that's a human carnal thought. When we're saying, what we're really saying here in this prayer is, God, you, by the Spirit of God, you warn me. You prompt me to stay away from evil, because it's still our choice to stay away from evil. So we can see this process where we approach God like you would approach the president, like you approach the Queen of England. You'd come and your first response is what? Hallowed, precious is your name. Your kingdom come. Otherwise, I'm praying God's will. You know, when people get saved, they're already praying God's will, because it's God's will that they would be saved. Your will. Then it's, well, guess what the next level is? The next level is, God, give us this day. Provide for me. Listen, God's interested in taking care of you. But then the next level is what? The relationships all around you. God, forgive me as I forgive others. So tonight, I believe we're going to do that. Because ultimately, when the psalmist says in the 23rd Psalm that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, is when God is saying, to Him be the glory, because God wants to use you. God wants to do things in your life. Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Another scripture we know very well. I'll go ahead and start with it. It says, let us come boldly, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That's talking about how we approach Him. How do you come boldly? Not rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, but boldly means that, God, I'm coming with the right heart. I'm coming with your intentions, with your words and your plan inside of me, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Hebrews chapter 11, moving quickly, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Now check this out. This verse changed my life. I had no idea that the actions of my life and how I went to God would make a difference to God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is God. The word and, a conjunction. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What does diligence talk about? It talks about passion, fervent, focus, faith-filled, word-based communication. It doesn't talk about being passive, but passionate. And we need to understand that God, when we come to God in prayer, God expects these things. He wants them. But guess what? God's not going to force anything on you, because it's up to you. Maybe you haven't been getting prayers answered, but maybe it's because your approach has been all wrong. You know, even Esther had to watch how she approached the king. What makes us think that if there's an approach to kings and presidents on earth, there wouldn't be an approach to the Almighty God? So tonight, I believe that we can enter into prayer. I believe that we have to take steps to approaching God, that we can't just treat Him as carnal. We have to treat God as God. That means that we have to enter into a sense of praise and worship.